I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News update for Wednesday, July 24th. The Healey administration will make another series of major changes to the state's emergency shelter system starting next week, giving extra priority to certain Massachusetts families and setting up a 5-day cap on how long people can stay in overflow sites. The governor announced a dramatic overhaul after more than a year of sustained pressure on the emergency assistance shelter system, in effect moving further away from the so-called right to shelter law that once guaranteed all eligible homeless families access to somewhere to stay with few restrictions. But beginning August 1st, the state will prioritize for placement in the emergency assistance shelters families who are homeless because of a no-fault eviction, who have at least one member who is a veteran, or who are homeless because of sudden or unusual circumstances in Massachusetts beyond their control, such as a flood or a fire. The administration at the same time will cap how long families awaiting a longer-term shelter placement can stay at an overflow site, sometimes referred to as safety net sites, at 5 days. Families who choose to use one of those locations after August 1st will then need to wait at least 6 months to secure placement into an emergency assistance shelter, though they will remain eligible for other diversion services, such as reticketing and home base. Existing overflow sites in Chelsea, Lexington, Cambridge, and Norfolk will adopt those new policies next week, and the state will not open any additional locations due to operational and financial constraints. Healey last year capped the number of families that can be in the emergency assistance shelter system at around 7,500, and she signed a law this year limiting the length of stay in those facilities to 9 months. Total costs for the system and related expenses surpassed $1 billion in fiscal 2024, and administration officials estimated before the latest eligibility changes that the state would spend $915 million responding to the crisis in fiscal 2025. Two members of the state police who testified in the high-profile Karen Reed murder case, which resulted in a mistrial earlier this month, face internal affairs investigations. Detective Lieutenant Brian Tully and Sergeant Yuri Buchanek, who both testified during Reed's trial, remain on full duty during the investigations. A third member of the department, Lieutenant John Fanning, also faced an internal affairs probe. As of last night, a spokesperson said the investigation was closed and the allegation against him was classified as unfounded. Officials didn't provide information about the allegations that Tully and Buchanek face or whether the allegations are specifically related to the Reed case. One other member of the department, Trooper Michael Proctor, was relieved from duty hours after the mistrial was declared and later suspended without pay following a duty status hearing. During the trial, Proctor was questioned about messages he shared with a group of friends after reading one of the messages in which he called Reed a whack job and an expletive. He apologized to the jury for his unprofessional comments. Proctor described his messages as very regrettable. Tully, who testified in June during the Reed case, testified that he admonished Proctor about the messages and reported the messages up the chain of command. Prosecutors also used Tully to show evidence, including pieces of broken taillight, to the jury. Buchanek, who also testified last month, testified about numerous pieces of physical evidence, including articles of clothing and a series of surveillance videos showing Reed's SUV. Buchanek was also questioned by the defense about the controversial mirrored video that showed Reed's vehicle inside the garage of the Canton Police Department. Buchanek confirmed the video was mirrored. However, he could not explain why. The sergeant explained that what the jurors were seeing was the driver's side of the car and not the passenger side, which appeared to have a damaged taillight in another video shown to the jury. After the mistrial, prosecutors announced plans to retry the case, while the defense has attempted to have at least some of the charges dismissed. After a hearing on Monday, the second trial was scheduled for January 27th. Lengthy reports filed yesterday by a patient care advocate appointed by the court overseeing Steward Health Care's bankruptcy proceeding identified challenges with staffing, equipment, and facilities across the company's Massachusetts hospitals. Suzanne Koenig was appointed by the U.S. Bankruptcy Court in Houston to be the patient care ombudsman for the 7 Massachusetts hospitals, as well as others in Ohio, Pennsylvania, and the Miami-Dade area of Florida. Her reports to the court provide details and observations from a series of visits to each facility. Steward filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection on May 6th. Company is looking to sell all of its hospitals and has received qualified bids for each of the facilities in Massachusetts. Steward was taking bids on its 7 hospitals in the Bay State, Good Samaritan in Brockton, Morton in Taunton, St. Anne's in Fall River, St. Elizabeth's in Brighton, Kearney in Dorchester, Holy Family in Methuen and Haverhill, and Neshoba Valley Medical Center in Ayer. Despite identifying challenges within the hospitals, Koenig's report indicated no material issues impacting patient care, requiring the court's immediate attention. Another report from the ombudsman's expected within 60 days. A new poll finds that 1 in 5 Massachusetts residents burdened by high housing and transportation costs see themselves moving out of the state in the near future. In the Mass Inc. polling group survey of over 1,400 residents, 21% said they can picture leaving Massachusetts in the next 5 years. Another 19% said they're looking to move within the state, and 45% said they do not plan on moving. Those struggling with skyrocketing costs of living are even more likely to leave Massachusetts. 38% of respondents who said housing and transportation are both a very big burden on their finances said they could see themselves moving out of the state. The poll asked residents what they think is the single biggest issue facing the Massachusetts state government. Tied for first at 18% were housing and the migrant crisis. Taxes, government spending, welfare was named by 14% of respondents, and 13% said inflation and the cost of living. A recent report from Bankrate said prospective home buyers in Massachusetts need to make more than $162,000 a year to afford a house. 37% of those polled described their monthly housing costs as a very big burden. 34% said it was somewhat of a burden. Only 10% said it was not a burden at all. Mass Inc. partnered with advocacy group Transportation for Massachusetts to conduct the poll, which touched on several transportation issues facing the state. 57% said transportation costs, which include car payments, gas, and Uber fares, are either a very big burden or somewhat of a burden. 37% said those were not much of a burden or not a burden at all. There are also some signs that residents are feeling slightly better about the T since Governor Healey appointed Phil Eng to lead the beleaguered agency. 22% of respondents said the T is getting better, compared to 17% who said it's getting worse. 43% said it's about the same as it's been. Motor vehicle inspections will once again be available to Massachusetts drivers today, according to MassDOT. The RMV had been unable to process inspections due to a faulty software update that caused a technological outage last week. The RMV will also be giving extra time for some drivers to get their vehicle re-inspected. Registries granting additional time to get retests for vehicle owners with failed motor vehicle inspections prior to July 19th. The registry will extend anyone whose re-inspection date expired between July 19th and July 31st up until August 10th for their free re-inspection. Motorcycle owners have been able to get inspections over the past few days. The software issue, which also grounded flights globally, was caused by a CrowdStrike defect found in a single content update for Windows hosts. CrowdStrike is a global cybersecurity firm One of its clients is Microsoft Windows. Delta has also been hit hard by the tech meltdown. The airline was still trying to restore operations yesterday. Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg has launched an investigation into Delta. A check of business news this morning, and stocks are down. The Dow lost 57 points yesterday. The NASDAQ dropped 10. The S&P fell 8. Asian stocks are also lower. The euro fell. The dollar is down, and oil is at $77 a barrel. Sports Red Sox end their losing streak and shut out the Rockies in Colorado 6-0. They'll wrap up that series at 3:10 this afternoon. The National Weather Service forecast for today, scattered showers throughout the day and muggy with a high of 75 degrees. Cloudy tonight, patchy fog, low 67. More scattered showers tomorrow and a high of 83. The sunshine returns on Friday with a high of 83 and sunny 85 on Saturday. The marine forecast calling for 1-foot waves, east winds at 5 to 10 knots and a high tide at 2:32 p.m. Sunrise 5:29, sets at 8:10. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Wednesday, July 24th.